Living for today with an eye for tomorrow. This is the Voice of Vision broadcast.
I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior, for He is good. For He is good. I will rejoice.
Now, here's our teacher, Pastor J.D. Hatfield.
Well, hello there, friends. Once again, this is Pastor J.D. Hatfield of the Riverside Christian Fellowship in Hernando, Florida. As always, you can find us on the web at voiceofvision.org. Friends, a lot of times here on the Voice of Vision broadcast, we talk about Christian service and misconstrued and misunderstood and misapplied ideas surrounding that. And why do we do that so often? Because it is a problem so often, or it's an issue that people have that they need straightening out, and it's help to people to talk about that. It helps me in my own life as a pastor. I have to keep my sail set the right way, if I could say it that way. Well, today's title of our message is Christian Success. Joshua 1:8 says, "Then you will be prosperous and successful." And talk about Joshua taking the land, and you read in Isaiah about enlarging your borders and things like that. And we all want to be a success, do we not? Now, are we all ready to handle that? Are we ready to be Joshua or Isaiah or whomever it might be, or whomever God is calling us to be? We might be called to be a professional baseball player. God has that in mind for us when we're a little child. But does that mean we enter the major leagues right away? Of course not. We got to work our way through the little leagues. We've got to get into high school and college ball, perhaps, and minor league baseball, perhaps, and even get on the major leagues and make the starting roster, then become an all-star, all of these things, and have a career more than just a year or two to be able to make the Hall of Fame. So there's a process there, and a mature person wouldn't go, "Well, you know, I'm not going to go put up through with all that. We don't want to put up with the..." Now let me turn the page here. The growing in grace in Jesus Christ. And we think because we were successful in business or successful in our marriage even, or successful in other things, that we're ready to be ministers of the gospel. And it's really one sign of spiritual immaturity that gives us the desire to minister before the time is right. It's interesting, you know, how, well, again, you know, people can get moved emotionally, and I'm not against that, and I know that God can do a crisis work, you know, in an instant, but it's not our decision to start, it's our determination to stay that matters. And it's just interesting, it happens a lot. I've seen it happen a lot where people just start to get right with God, you know, or they got saved one week and they're called to be a minister the next. I mean, I've seen that happen so many times, and I'm not saying God doesn't do that. I'm saying that even though Paul, this is the Apostle Paul, now he had a bigger mission than we do in that sense, but he had to spend 3 years out in the desert in Arabia once God struck him down on the road to Damascus, right? We have to go through a training period, folks, and problem is, many people, you know, they think that they're always supposed to be a minister, and they finally give their heart to God, so now God's just going to reward them or something like that. They finally start to get right with God. They finally attend church regularly, and then they feel like they are supposed to go out and conquer the world for God. You know, a person starts to really believe, you know, and really mean it. I'm not mad at them. They mean it. They want to put into practice the things that they're learning, and that's good. And they should be sharing their faith. Yes. But they're not supposed to be starting some big idea ministry. The problem lies in the fact that they aren't as equipped as they think they are. It wasn't all about their intentions. Because they're well-intentioned, but they're not ready to lead. They may even have been great leaders in the world, but that doesn't mean they're ready to lead in the kingdom of God. Not yet, at least. You see, I'm pointing out something very important to you. People need to learn more than simple desire for God. You have to learn to lead. And yes, we're all supposed to be leaders in our home and in our church and in other places. We have different roles, but we're supposed to lead in the sense we're supposed to be becoming as Christ-like as we can, and we're supposed to desire that. But even when you have that strong desire, you have to learn to lead. And it is a process. People need to learn to serve before they can learn to lead. Too many people come into a church and have this great big idea, and they may have been a leader in another church, but they have to learn to serve. Other people must see them as one of them and not just some hired gun. So we need to learn to serve before we can learn to lead. And then we have to learn to submit before we can even learn to serve. And you got to learn to obey before you learn to submit. Did you see that? Let me get that order for you. Obedience, submission, service, and then and only then leadership. Said another way, your actions, then your attitudes, then your availability, and then your ability. And that is the big problem in the Christian church, among many, of course, folks, today. Is people say, I've got these gifts, and so I should be given a shortcut. God does not fast-track people, friends. We do that, and we put people in position before they're ready, and they fall mightily. And guess what? It was their fault, but guess whose else fault it was? It was ours. And mature leadership doesn't do that to people. They take someone that they know is going to be great and ready, and then they put them through the process. It's not that they don't have to go through the process. Let me say all that again. You have to learn to lead, but you got to serve. Learn to serve before you can learn to lead. And you have to learn to submit before you can learn to serve. And you have to learn to obey before you learn to submit. That's the order. Obedience, submission, service, and only then leadership. In other words, your actions, your attitudes, your availability, and then your ability. When the Bible talks about leadership roles in the pastoral epistles of Timothy and Titus, it doesn't just talk about the man's ability and his giftedness. It talks about a process and his character, and these things must be shown over time. That he treats his wife right, that he has served as a deacon, that he has talent, but that he has given it the time. Let me say it one time again. Obedience, submission, service, and then leadership. Your actions, that's obedience. Your attitudes, that's submission. Your availability, that's service. Not as you want to serve, your availability when called upon. All right? And then your ability, because it will be honed by all these other things, and it will be put into the right focus. You're an obedient, submissive, serving kind of person. Then God will use that ability to its maximum, and then your perspective will be different, and you won't think, because I have all these great gifts, that I should be a leader. Some people have great gifts, but they're not supposed to lead. They're just supposed to use their gifts. And most people think that gifting is leadership, and that's not the case, friends. Let me relate it this way. Most people understand how material stuff has a way of keeping you from God. But it's the same with ministry stuff. We go from one bad thing to another. We trade one love of stuff for another. We feel like we've licked the covetousness bug concerning material things just to turn around and find that bug right back on us regarding ministry things. Instead of acquiring material, we acquire ministry. We're blind to the fact that God still doesn't have our heart. Not in that area, at least. If this is you, you need to realize that this isn't the way to please God, by doing more stuff for God. Just as your money doesn't buy influence with God, neither will that big plan you have. What God wants and requires of you is that you stay humble and worshipful, repentant and submissive, and in order with your family life. Loving your wife or husband and respecting them. Giving to your children's lives before you give to your church life. Building your personal and family's spiritual life before you build your ministry life, and so forth. That is what Christian success is. No amount of ministry success will change that. How many successful ministers had a terrible home life and they are still even speaking to others after they're dead and their books are read and all that? I'm not against them, but I'm saying that their family life would tell a different story. And that's sad. That's sad. So I want to challenge you to redefine what you think is a Christian success. Because, again, the pastoral epistles and talking about leadership talk about the home life first. That he's a husband of one wife. In other words, he loves his bride like Christ loves his bride, the church. He gives his life for her. Not just the fact that he's married, but how well he's doing it. And it talks about it later saying, look, he's got to have children that are in line, because if he can't rule his house, he can't rule, right, in the church. So Christian success starts in the home. Starts in your own life. Starts by learning obedience, being submissive, serving as called, and then it's about your ability, and you'll have honed it through that process to be even better anyway. Let me ask you, have you truly replaced your understanding of worldly success with a biblical one? Or are you just using the same standard and baptizing it with words like ministry and victory? I want you to look again at acquiring and avoiding. It's what most people, even after they become Christians, think victorious living is about. You know, avoiding pain and acquiring godly things like ministry. And if the more they do, the less they'll do wrong kind of thing. And they're just trying to do the same old things, and they're wrong. They're dead wrong. Faith without works is dead, yes. But works without faith is death itself. Trying to acquire in order to please God is not faith. And doing for others without caring for home is not faithfulness. Avoiding is not faith, it's fear. It's not care, it's control. Remember what Jesus said about faithfulness in another ministry? Let's read Luke 16, verses 10 through 12. One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. One who is dishonest in very little is also dishonest in much. If you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust you with the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? You have to be faithful in another person's ministry before God gives you your own. Did you understand that? That's what he's saying. You got to be faithful in little things, in other words, details, the obedience, the mission, and the service. In financial things, you have to show that you have things in order. Can you lead? And in another ministry, you got to be a lieutenant before you're a captain. Do you understand that? You got to be a lieutenant before you're a captain. What makes you think you can have this pulpit or parachurch ministry when you can't even commit to the ministry of the local church? Or your ministry at home? Learning to serve means learning to do what the church already knows it needs. It's not coming up with something you want to do and calling that service. And obedience doesn't mean just do everything the boss tells you, but not give God your heart and be having that secret sin somewhere. Or not just going through all the motions and being submissive in the sense of, well, I'm doing this because I want to be the one that leads so people are submissive to me. You get this order wrong and you'll get your leadership wrong. And again, that's why we see so many fall. They haven't really been obedient from the heart. They're not truly submissive. You know, when your will meets God's will, that's where submission comes into play. There's no such thing as submission unless there's conflict. So you need to think about that. And then serving from a place of weakness, not a place of strength. Again, learning to serve means learning to do what the church already knows it needs. Not coming up with something you want to do and calling that service. Acquiring ministry, friends, is not the measure of spirituality. I have too many people come and say, I am, you know, not that good of a Christian yet, or, you know, I'm not fit to lead. And I can understand where they're coming from, but too often they're thinking that the people that are in leadership, you know, that means their gifting is what makes them a better Christian and all that. And it's not necessarily true. There are many people out there that aren't leaders, that are humble and lead by example, and they are a true Christian success. Worry about your own life. Worry about your home life. Worry about how it's going in church before you think you want to lead something. That's all the time we have for today on the Voice of Vision broadcast. We'll see you next time. This is Pastor J.D. Hatfield. God bless you.
Oh, yes, I'm glad to know my life is hid with Jesus, and that's where I'm always gonna be, right here at the right hand of the Father of life.
We'll see you next time on the Voice of Vision broadcast, where we are living for today with an eye for tomorrow.
And